Well, I wanted to. I was going to preach, continue in Matthew, but it's sort of been on my heart this week to preach on something else. And actually, on Thursday, Jeff hit it on the head and started sort of ploughing my furrow on the sovereignty of God. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning: the sovereignty of God, and the sovereignty of God in the present day. So who regulates the affairs of the earth today? Is it God? Is it the devil? God reigns supreme, doesn't he, folks? God reigns supreme. And that should be in our hearts. But unfortunately, that's not the view of the world, is it? The view of the world is completely different. And unfortunately, in today's society, God is denied, isn't he? He's denied completely. What do we see? Well, he's relegated to the background. So we see evolution, don't we? Millions of years ago, this big bang happened. And, out of this big bang came life. Well, we all know that's rubbish, don't we? Absolute rubbish. But the world likes to believe that, don't they? They like to believe that. Evolution and Charles Darwin's natural selection, the origin of the species. I think that was a dark day in 1859, wasn't it? A real dark day. All theories, aren't they? They're just theories. They're just theories. And yet man would rather believe that he's an ape than believe that he was created by an almighty God, wouldn't he? He would rather believe he was an ape. Foolishness, isn't it? That's righteous indignation. foolishness, it really is. Do you remember that wall chart that you had at school? I don't know if you did have that wall chart at school, and here's the ape, the Neanderthal man, and he's sort of gradually walking his way up, and he's ready for his cup of tea. So it's just ridiculous, isn't it, that we came from an ape to a tea drinker? It's just ridiculous, isn't it, dear friends? The ridiculousness of evolution. And yet man, why? Well, man wants to do his own thing, doesn't he? He wants to do his own thing. He doesn't want to answer for the sins that he does. I think of that poor chap, David Attenborough. Do you know, he's 90 years old. 90 years old and he's still out. I think there's a program on tonight, actually, on the world. Penguins or something like that. But he's still out. He's showing people the beauty of this wonderful earth that the Lord God has created. And yet he denies it. He denies it. And he believes in this millions of years. The beauty of the Creator. And he's blind to it. He's blind to it. Oh, dear Lord, save him. But the sobering thing is, he's 90 years old and it won't be long before he's meeting his Creator. Whether he lives another 20 years, we all must come, mustn't we? We all must come and face our Creator. It's real sobering, isn't it? So what does man say? What does man love to say? Well, man says, well, I'm a philosopher, right? I'm looking for my own theory. Maybe we evolved from fish. I don't know. They have these views, don't they? These ridiculous views. They would rather believe anything than what is in the Bible. He would rather make something up, wouldn't he, than believe in his Creator. He would rather make something up. It's really sad, isn't it? Not only is God is denied, not only are they denied that God created everything, but the funny thing is, he's blamed for when disaster comes, isn't he? He's blamed, well, I'm an atheist, but if I believed in God, he shouldn't have done that, or he shouldn't have done this. How cruel. They blame God, don't they? They blame him for everything. Oh, the weather, yeah, blame him for that. Blame everyone but ourselves. Isn't it? That's the view of man, to blame everyone but themselves. And what was the other side of things? Well, I don't believe in God, but it's just bad luck, isn't it? It's bad luck. Ah, bad luck, old chap, you know. That's happened. Bad luck. So God is banished, isn't he, from the thoughts of men? He's banished from the thoughts of men. And so the great creator is banished from his creation. And that's really sad, isn't it? Really sad. I remember visiting with Dad. I went to America with him. This is going back a few years now. We visited a family in the deep south. I couldn't remember their names. You'll have to forgive me. They used to feed birds. But the particular bird that they used to feed was the hummingbird. And this bird is amazing, absolutely amazing. Can you remember, it's a tiny little bird. And yeah, it just hovers in the air, just hovers in the air. And this is amazing, I had to look this up. The hummingbird flaps its wings 50 times a second. That's astounding, isn't it? That's amazing. I mean, you couldn't blink that fast, could you? You could not blink that fast. It's just amazing, 50 times a second. You might get about 3 or 4 blinks in a second, if you're really quick. But it's amazing, isn't it? Our great creator and what he has created. Beautiful. The program I was watching the other day was on Great Britain, and Bear Grylls was taking it. And they were doing an exercise with the peregrine falcon, which is the fastest animal in the world. Do you know the peregrine falcon can dive at speeds of over 200 miles an hour? It's amazing, isn't it? With the word of his mouth, the Lord God created this wonderful animal. And yet, even now, only the past sort of 20, 30 years, man has had to engineer this car to go at those speeds. Amazing. The Lord God did it in creation. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. So the sad thing is that throughout the world, man is excluded, isn't he? Man is excluding God from everything. And we see the mess around us because of it, don't we? We see the mess we're in. What does man also say? Well, he says the devil's to blame, isn't he? He says the devil's to blame. He's to blame for all the evil in the world. If it wasn't for the devil, well, what does Matthew say? Let's have a look at Matthew's gospel. Mark. I'm leading you astray. Mark's gospel in the 7th chapter. So Mark chapter 7. And the Lord Jesus tells us here, in verse 21, let's read on from, he went on, the Lord Jesus says, "When what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." It's the human heart, isn't it, dear friends? It's the human heart. Yes, the devil tricked the woman, but it's the human heart that is evil, isn't it? Manipulates. The devil manipulates. He loves to manipulate us, doesn't he? Oh, you're too tired. You don't want to go to church today. Rest, and, you know, get your strength back. The devil revels in it, doesn't he? He revels in it. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And in verse 13 it says, "While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." We're going from bad to worse, aren't we? And we see it everywhere, don't we? We see bad to worse, especially in the law of the land lately with, you know, homosexual marriage and other things. It really is getting bad. We're going from bad to worse. Everything seems evil in this day and age, doesn't it? I mentioned it last week with you turn on the TV and you see murder, you see man sinning against his fellow man, sinning against God. And it's funny, last week I was talking about the US presidency. And of course, it's amazing what a week does, isn't it? It's amazing what a week does, because in a week, of course, the United States has a new president. On the one hand, you had Hillary, whose nickname was Killary, and her views on abortion. And then on the other hand, you had people who think, well, yeah, Trump, he's a bit of an imbecile. You know, he's a celebrity. He's never been in politics. So, dear, what are we going to do? That's the view, isn't it? people vote against corruption, don't they? It's interesting what I brought to you on Thursday, that through all this, God is sovereign. You know, we have to marvel in the Lord's goodness to us. And there is this man, vice president, who's a born-again Christian. And it's interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. But what does the world see? That's a very good question. What does the world see? Well, the world sees unrest, doesn't it? Sees discontent. Well, I don't like Trump. Yeah, don't like him. Don't like his policies. But governments are perplexed. Oh, what shall we do? What shall we do? The end is nigh. But let's look at this spiritually, because we're in the 21st century, aren't we? And for the 2,000 years, Christ is still despised and rejected, isn't he? Nothing has changed. Christ is still despised and rejected. And worse, he's the Christ of Scripture. And he's not proclaimed and magnified as he should be, is he? He's not proclaimed and magnified. He's proclaimed and magnified by very few. And in the majority of pulpits today, he's dishonoured, isn't he? He's dishonoured. And that's really sobering, that he's dishonoured. He's disowned. He's even disowned, isn't he? Oh, we only want a 15-minute sermon. 15 minutes? It's an introduction. But the church, doesn't it? It tries to attract people for all the wrong reasons, doesn't it? Tries to attract people for all the wrong reasons. And what of God? What of God? Does he see and hear? Is he impotent or indifferent? Do these things look as though God is ruling the world? Do these things look as though God is ruling the world? Well, what does man think? What does man think? Well, he wants to bless men, but they won't let him. The devil has gained the upper hand. That's what they say, isn't it? The devil has gained the upper hand and is to be pitied rather than worshipped. The view of man, isn't it? Does the devil have far more to do with the affairs of the earth than God does? Does he? Well, dear friends, that depends, doesn't it? It depends whether we are walking by faith or whether we are walking by sight. And that's a very good question this morning. And even Christians are guilty of this, aren't they? So ask yourself this very good question, and it's a serious question this morning. Am I walking by faith? Am I walking by faith, and am I walking as I should? And I'm afraid we walk by faith very little, really, in reality, don't we? But what does walking by faith signify? What does it signify? Well, it means our thoughts are formed, doesn't it? Our thoughts are clear. Our lives are moulded by the word of God, and we'll see that in Romans, and in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, I mean next, Romans, and verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. It's heard through the word of God, folks. We have a huge lack of respect these days, don't we? Don't we have a huge lack of respect? No respect for elders. You know, I was coming out of the bank the other day and walking along the path, and there was this elderly couple, seasoned couple in front of me. And there was this boy coming towards them on a push bike, riding on the pavement. And of course, the old chap was like, what are you doing? But he had every right to. He could have got off the bike, you know, stepped aside, let them pass and carried on going. He was riding right towards them. There's no respect for the elderly these days, is there? There's no respect. There's no respect for parents, is there? Children have no respect for their parents. Well, they talk back all the time. Have we done that? Well, I'm sure we have. But there's no respect, is there? When we look at the parents of these days, don't we? But there's a lack of respect for authority, isn't there? There's no respect for authority. There's no respect for law. And we've been looking at that. There's no respect for law. There's lawlessness everywhere. We see it. Lawlessness on the roads. 70 miles an hour? No, it's not a speed limit. I can do way over that. But there's no respect. People going over white lines when they shouldn't do. You know, dangerous. But there is lawlessness, isn't there? Well, let's have a look at Jude. Jude, the penultimate book before Revelation. And in verse 8 of Jude, we read this: in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority and slander celestial beings. Oh, man. It's so... Men speak evil of the supreme deity, don't they? They speak evil of God. Look, the blasphemy that is on the TV today. The Lord Jesus Christ, his name is just... is taken in vain and is just used as another word, isn't it? It's rife, absolutely rife. He's the potentate of time, folks, isn't he? He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Oh, there is terrible irreverence today, isn't there? Irreverence. He's mocked, he's joked, and he's taken in vain. Real sobering. His majesty, his authority, the sovereign God, the almighty lawgiver. And this is vital that we know this, dear friends, isn't it? As a Christian, it is vital that we know that God is sovereign. And as Christians, there's no room for uncertainty. There is no room for uncertainty. You must know this, that God is on the throne of the universe. Hallelujah. He's on the throne of the universe. The scepter is in his hand. He directs all things. He created all things. Wonderful. And he is ruling and reigning, isn't he? He's ruling and reigning. And he's ruling and reigning over all the works of his hands. Not just some, all. He is the absolute sovereign. Absolute. A wonderful word, that, isn't it? Absolute. What do they say about the washing powder? Well, it's absolute. I mean, obviously, it still leaves stains, but God, he is sovereign. But there's only two other alternatives, dear friends, isn't there? There's only two alternatives. God must rule or be ruled. Sway or be swayed. Accomplish his own will or be thwarted. Of course, we know that's not the case. Not the case at all. Accept the fact, folks. He is the Most High. I am. And that should fill us with awe, shouldn't it? And it's just so sad that this, dear friends, should be thundered from every pulpit in the land today. Shouldn't it? But it's not. It's not, is it? God still lives. Hallelujah. God still lives. God still observes. He still observes us, doesn't he? And he still reigns. He still reigns. Well, let's move on. Faith will be tested, won't it? Be tested with fire. We're tested every day, aren't we? There's no resting place for the mind and the heart other than in the throne of God. There's no resting place. And the wonderful thing is, if you're a Christian this morning, you have rest. You have rest because of what Christ has done for you. That's wonderful, isn't it? Christ has given you rest. Well, what are the American people saying at the moment? What should we do? Those who haven't supported, well, think of it this, you know, if you don't, that's the problem with democracy, isn't it? obviously other people have loads of views, but then you have to respect what happens in the outcome. But it's like having an argument with the pilot. Well, if you have an argument with the pilot and you take the pilot away, the plane's going to crash, isn't it? But God is never alarmed, is he? God is never alarmed. There's always division, but God is never alarmed. He is never taken by surprise. How often we are taken by surprise. Even last night, Hannah made me jump. So, but God is never made jump, is he? He's never taken by surprise. There is no emergency which confronts him. There's no emergency. Let's have a look at Ephesians on that. Turn to Ephesians and chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 11, and it says in here, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, with the purpose of his will. He chose you before the creation of the world. And that is wonderful, isn't it? Everything is in his plan. Everything is in his plan. He is sovereign. He is a sovereign God, isn't he? Wonderful. Wonderful. You were chosen. You were chosen this morning. That should fill you with joy, shouldn't it? Fill you with joy. Man is but a creature. God is the creator. He is the creator. And he's the creator way before man first saw the light. Look at Isaiah, and again, it should be a very familiar passage to us. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And there it is. To us a child is born, in verse 6. To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Before the creation of the world, folks, we have to always start at the beginning, don't we? Must always start at the beginning. It's funny, isn't it? Sometimes man starts with himself and then works his way to God. But if we start with God, we'll always start the right path. What does Genesis say? The first words, what is it? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Imply this to every situation, folks. God is supreme. He reigns eternal. Oh. In order for the heart to enjoy rest, we must ponder upon these blessed truths, don't we? The absolute sovereignty of God. But we must exercise faith. We must exercise faith. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And here we read in Hebrews 11, and the title is By Faith. Now, by faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And we looked at that last week, didn't we? By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, but God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And we look on, and by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. By faith Abraham, and it goes on, and then we see in verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. By faith, he saw God. We'll go through hard times, won't we? We'll go through hard times as the children of Israel did. They went through great persecution. And we'll have heartaches in life, won't we? We'll have plenty of those. Why did I read Psalm 16? Well, King David, he knew hardships, didn't he? He faced Goliath. A 9-foot chap, dear me. You know, I've got a chap who's a friend who's 6'7". He makes me look titchy. Morning. But facing a foe that tall. And then Saul, you know, throwing his spear at him and wanting to kill him. And then you think of his son Absalom. Even his son Absalom wanted to kill him and uproot him. But here we see in Psalm 16 and in verse 6. Psalm 16, verse 6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And he had assurance to say that, didn't he? He had assurance to say that. But God enables us to say that, doesn't he? God gives us the assurance through faith. And that is the language of faith, isn't it? There, folks, that's the language of faith. David shows great faith there. It's not by sight, is it? It's not by sense. If we walk by sight, we walk as non-believers do, don't we? We walk as non-believers do, and that's really sobering. We reason as non-believers do, don't we? If we walk by sight, we enter the quagmire of atheism. Be that strong, can't it? If we walk by sight, walk by faith. There'll be times in our life where sin and suffering saddens us and even appalls us. Can even appall us, can't it? But that's no reason tonight to unite with the unbeliever, is it? What does the world say? Well, if I were God, I wouldn't allow that to happen. That's what the world says, doesn't it? I wouldn't tolerate that. The scriptures tell us, dear friends, that God's judgments are unsearchable. And his ways are past finding out. And that's in Romans 11 and verse 33. And we must do well to remember that. And here is the fundamental difference between a man of faith and the man of unbelief. So the man of the unbeliever, well, he's of the world, isn't he? He's of the world. He judges everything with worldly standards. With worldly standards. He can't see in front of him. Can't see in front of him. He views everything from his standpoint on time and sense, doesn't he? But what does the man of faith do? The man of faith, he brings in God, doesn't he? He brings in God. He looks at everything from God's standpoint. God's standpoint. He looks at the spiritual, folks, doesn't he? He looks at the spiritual. He views life in the light of eternity. He views it in the light of eternity. By doing this, he receives whatever comes as from God's hand. That's really... That's something, isn't it, that is really just baffles us sometimes. Look at Job. We turn to Job, and there's a man who knew suffering. There's a man who knew suffering. And in Job, and chapter 1, we're looking at Job 1. And here it is. And he knew suffering, didn't he, Job? And in verse 21, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. For the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised," or blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Job had he had everything, didn't he? And then he had nothing. And yet he still praised the Lord. And dear Lord God, dear friends, that should be in our heart, shouldn't it? His heart was calm in the midst of the storm, wasn't it? Is yours? Is your heart calm? The storms we have today? He rejoices, doesn't he, the Christian? He rejoices in the hope, the glory of God. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Rejoicing in the hope of glory. In Isaiah 55, we cannot know, we just cannot know the wonderfulness of God. We just cannot know it. Isaiah 55, and look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, we're puny. We really are puny. God is sovereign. He is sovereign. It's one. We cannot know. We cannot know these things. Our puny minds. Just walk by faith, dear friends, through his word. Through his word. Know this book. Know this book. Love this book, dear friends. Love this book. Don't let the dust settle on it. Is there dust on your Bible? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, should there? Finally, pray, dear folks. Pray. For a closer walk with him. If you haven't, pray for a closer walk with our sovereign God. He is wonderful. He is sovereign. Walk with him. Walk with him. Amen.